Inshallah, we're going to speak about Surah Al-Furqan. And Surah Al-Furqan, the meaning of Al-Furqan is the differentiator between right and wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have called the Quran Al-Furqan, because it is the one that came to differentiate between what is right and what's wrong, what is false and what is true. It is the one that came to guide people and tell them what's the straight path. Define the boundaries of the straight path so that people can see the straight path. And then it's up to them if they want to follow it or not. It depends on each person. And the surah starts at the beginning with debate with the unbelievers. Debating with them and debating with their thoughts, debating with their arguments, debating with their techniques and their methods that they use to lead people astray away from the straight path. And then, at the very end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a specific category of people. Very special category of people. At the beginning of the surah, we see a war that's being waged against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the non-believers, using various arguments, and Allah is defending him. And indeed, you know, the problem, the true problem that those non-believers had with Prophet Muhammad was conflict of interest. Because before he came with the package of La ilaha illallah, he was respected, he was loved, he was the most trustworthy, he was the most honest, and they all agreed unanimously. You know, no one ever would doubt that he never lied, and he never cheated, and he was so kind. His manners were extremely superior. You know, everybody was impressed and wow about the manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can imagine, when Allah describes his manners in Surah Noon, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, your manners are extremely superior. You have magnificent manners. When Allah describes him that way, and this is the testimony of Allah, then you can imagine what kind of manners he has. But these manners didn't matter, you know, didn't matter much. When he came with a package of La ilaha illallah, everybody was worried about his business. Everybody was worried about his kingdom and his power, his little kingdom. And they fought Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of that, because of the conflict of interest. They put and their interest on one side, and they put the faith on the other side. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described at the end of Surah Al-Waqi'ah by saying, وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ, that you make your business dependent on denying the message of Prophet Muhammad. That your business is based on denying the message. وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. You make your way of earning life is denying the message, is dependent on denying the message of Prophet Muhammad. But you should have accepted the message and build your business on accepting the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a very specific category of people that He gave a very special title. And that is our topic today. Those very special category of people are called Ibadur Rahman. Ibadur Rahman are the servants of the compassionate. The people who serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serve His religion and pay the price for serving His religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described to them 11 characteristics or 11 descriptions. And we will go through some this Sunday and go, inshallah, not to make it long, we will continue next Sunday, inshallah. The first description, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, the ones who walk humbly on earth. That is the first feature. And indeed, you can tell a lot about the personality of the person from the way he's walking. There's an arrogant way of walking. You swell your cheeks and you lift your head up and you walk in insolence and pride. You know, that is reflecting what is inside you. You know, you can see the way the teenagers are walking outside, and you can tell a lot about what is going on in their brain from the way they are walking. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a very unique way of walking, as he was described, as the people, the companions have described the way he walks, that he walks in a very strong, humble way, in a strong and humble. There is no weak He's not weak. There's a weak way of walking, where the person is you know, shows a lot of weakness and a lot of humiliation. And there is a proud way of walking. You walk with pride. And Prophet Muhammad was not weak and not proud in the way he walks. He was described as كَأَنَّهُ يَنْحَدِرْ كَأَنَّهُ يَنْحَدِرْ. This is like he walks quickly in a strong way, in a strong, humble way, as though he is going downhill. You know, that's the way his way of walking was described. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used that figure of speech, which is the way of walking, as a figure of speech to describe how what is inside the person. For example, in Surah Luqman, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't swell your cheeks to the people out of pride, and don't walk in insolence and pride, you know, because this is not the right way. Luqman was advising his own son to have a humble way of walking. So that is the first feature, the way a person walks. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And this is another way, another feature that shows how strong they are from inside. When they speak with the ignorant, when the ignorance address them, when their response is peace, they are representative of the word of peace when they respond to the ignorant. And indeed, each vessel oozes what it contains. If you have a porous vessel, if it contains peace, it will ooze peace. If it contains ignorance, it will ooze ignorance. So they ooze peace, they respond with peace. And you know, another verse also confirms the same thing. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That use forgiveness as your strategy of life, and turn and enjoy good, forbid evil, you know, and then turn your back to the ignorant people. Because, you know, once you start enjoying good and forbidding people and telling people the truth about themselves, the truth hurt, right? The truth always hurt. So the first reaction is that the people are going to be defensive right away. Whether it's right or wrong, people are going to be defensive right away. And when they are defensive, they reply with ignorance. I mean, of course, not everybody's like that, but that's the most typical response. They reply with ignorance, and they give an ignorant response. Sometimes it's harsh, sometimes it's rude, sometimes it is really bad. But that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. You know, ignore, take it and just ignore it. Don't respond. Don't just act like them and start a fight. Just say it, and then whatever ignorant response, you know, it's just like it goes over your head. It's like you haven't heard it. وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. The third verse, the third feature is that the ones who spend the night praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, brothers and sisters, let's face it, as we go through life, as we go through our daily activities, we collect our hearts, collect trash. Our hearts gets contaminated, gets polluted. One lie over here, one dishonest act like there, one look here, one look there. Our heart starts collecting trash. And this affects the purity of the heart. You know? Purity of the heart, taharat al-qalb. Purity of the heart goes down, 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 down. Just like the trash can in your home. I mean, with time, as with use, you keep throwing the trash in it. As we go through our daily life, your heart must, Allah knows better, must collect trash. You know, and especially if you live in a society like this society where you can't keep your eye, there's so much pressure on your eye to look. So, what is the way of cleaning and cleansing and dumping this trash? The five times daily prayers, they help, but they are not enough. They are not enough to clean all this trash. And the trash build up in the heart until the heart becomes really not pure. لَيْسَ بِطَاهِرْ. You know طَاهِرْ? The heart becomes not طَاهِرْ anymore. So you need more than just the night, the five times daily prayers to cleanse and clean the heart. And the night prayers do a very good job on that. The people who tried the night prayers and tried working other than the night prayers for the sake of Allah, it helps clean their heart. It helps. So this way, you know, the competition of TV today, in today's life, television competes
with the remembrance of Allah during the night and prayers of Allah during the night. You know, there was one scholar that used to say that people are learning their way of life from television instead of Quran. People are spending the night prayer time with television. So probably television becomes a small icon, something like small little idol at the home that represents like the idols that the non-believers had in their homes at the past to represent that they are following other than Allah. He described television in this funny way, that it is like a small idol. It's a small sanam at the home. So, and people do go worship there every night. Why? Especially that, you know, when they sit over there, definitely they are going to be exposed to material that is haram material. That, I mean, in very rare situations, in very rare channels that you can spend really, like Iqra channel and all these nice channels that you don't get to see something haram, or guilt-free channels. But other than that, it's not guilt-free. It's really, you get to get something that obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. And this is indeed an important feature, that they are always afraid and scared of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Al-Ma'arij, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also described features to His people, to the same category of people. And among the features are, they say, إِنْ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Those who are afraid and scared from the punishment of their Lord. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. For the punishment of the Lord is not something to feel secured from. So among the thing that you can feel that your heart is not tahir anymore, if you feel secure from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that feeling is a bad feeling. That feeling is not a good feeling. This feeling is, you should resist that feeling. When you feel safe and secure from the punishment of Allah, feel you should resist that feeling and push this feeling away. In Surah Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. They feed the food that they are in so much need for to the poor, to the needy, and to the prisoners of war. And by the way, just a small hint, that verse tells you how Islam treats the prisoners of war. If anybody says, talks about how people are abusing prisoners of war in Guantanamo Bay and here and there and in Bosnia and all of this, this is how Islam treats the prisoners of war. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. That Allah made the prisoners of war a source of earning good deeds by feeding. Now the next verse it says, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We are feeding you for the sake of Allah. We don't want you to thank us or to give us or pay us back. And then the third verse, إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. For we are scared from the day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment. We're scared from it. We're so scared from it. We're afraid. Just imagine this day. Augusta will be destroyed. The whole earth will be destroyed. And you wake up after a very long sleep, full of, you know, whether it is good, sweet dreams about Jannah or horrible punishment and the nightmares about hellfire. Whatever dreams you're having, you suddenly wake up, you open your eyes, you find a brand new land, you find yourself naked, you find every people naked and screaming and yelling and scared. You find yourself suddenly in a totally different life. Just imagine. And then, you know, no more cars, no more homes, no more comfortable places, no more place to hide. And then suddenly you're resurrected, you grow out of the earth, and you're suddenly there, And this is truth. Don't deal with this thing as fiction. This is truth. This you will be facing that day. It's going to happen. It's going to come. It's going to be true. It's going to be a true situation that you'll be in there. And then suddenly you will have all what you have and your position are your deeds. That's it. No money, no cars, nothing. You have nothing in your pocket except the deeds that you have earned in this life. And you need to earn your next life using these deeds. Everything is gone. And then hellfire comes as a big, huge monster. Huge, incredible monster. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hellfire will come and it will have 70,000 leashes. And on every leash there will be 70,000 angels dragging it like a big, huge monster. And it will breathe on the people of that are gathered in the Day of Judgment. At that moment, every single prophet, every single righteous person will go down on their knees. And they will be holding the throne of Allah and saying, "Oh Allah, save me, oh Allah, save me." And then Prophet Muhammad, when he was describing that, he recited the verse in Surah Al-Jathiyah, وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً. And you will see جَاثِيَة means like kneeling down, and you know, in this way scared, kneeling down to earth like this is scared. That's the name of the surah, Al-Jathiyah. And then Allah says, and at that point you will see every single nation, جَاثِيَة, doing that position because they are scared of hellfire. So that we should not eliminate that feeling of fear from our heart. We should not eliminate it. And we should always keep this feeling alive. And the minute it goes down, you ignite the feeling again. Because it is going to be, it's a true feeling. And Allah, it's a healthy feeling. It's a feeling in the pure heart. It's a feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to have and maintain into your heart. It's an inspiring feeling. Where Islam is inspired by the love of Allah, the very strong desire to go to Jannah, and the very strong fear from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this feeling is very motivating. It's very motivating. And the people who maintain those feelings were able to accomplish a lot of things that others said, it's unbelievable, we can't believe that people can achieve that much. Where did they get the energy from? It's very inspiring feeling. And it will lead you to a lot of good deeds, unbelievable, that you can't yourself imagine that you can do that much. It is just because of this feeling. The fear that إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. We are afraid of the Day of Judgment, which is going to be عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. And in the Arabic dictionary, you can't find two words more horrible in describing anything than عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا means a very terrible, horrible, disastrous day. A day of, you know, you can't really describe a day worse than you describe a day with these two words. يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. And then in Surah Al-Muzzammil, Allah says, يَوْمًا يَجْعَلِ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. A day that will make the young boys, the hair of the young boys gray. Just imagine a young boy who has the hair of Brother Suhaib. Just imagine, the hair turns from black to this kind of hair. Of what? Of a young boy. A young boy, a baby, Al-Wildan, Sheba, you know. It is not something that shakhisatun absaruhum, you know, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the eyes that it goes out of the skull. You know, that feeling, it is the shaitan that tries to kill that feeling in your heart, using whatever techniques, because this feeling is so motivating that the shaitan doesn't want this feeling to be alive in your heart. This is why وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ in Surah Al-Furqan, and the features that we're describing, those who are very scared from the punishment of the Lord. And in Surah Al-Ma'arij, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ, for the punishment of the Lord is not something to feel secured from. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions never felt secured. And Prophet Muhammad used to say, وَأَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلْهِ. I am the Prophet of Allah and I have no idea what's going to happen to me. So, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, to the last minute, the shaitan came to him and he said, نَجَوْتَ مِنِّي أَبُو بَكْر. You are saved from me, Abu Bakr. I could not drag you into the hellfire. And then Abu Bakr said, لَمْ بَعْد, not yet. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was crying when he was dying and he was saying, I wish that the mother of Umar never gave birth to Umar. You know? And indeed, a lot of people say there is a conflict here. How could, and they, by the way, people use these statements to slander Prophet Muhammad and slander Abu Bakr and Umar. They say they are so wicked and so evil that they were scared from the punishment of their Lord, and they have admitted that. No, that's not the situation. The case is that in order for them to have such a high status, they have to be afraid from the Lord. If they are not afraid and scared from the punishment of Allah, then they cannot achieve such a high status. You see what I'm saying? So if they don't have this feeling, a true feeling in their heart, Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr and Umar, the top three people in our Muslim Ummah, if they don't have this feeling in their heart, then they do not qualify for such a high status. So that's how the logic comes, you know. And indeed, it's not because they, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I ask Allah for forgiveness 70 times a day. And the people use this hadith to slander him. They say, I've heard a debate where somebody quoted this hadith, debating with Sheikh Ahmed Didat. He quoted this hadith and he said, Muhammad, your prophet, he was asking for forgiveness 70 times a day and night. What was he doing? Of course he was doing a lot of evil. Otherwise, you know, why would he seek forgiveness for 70 times a day? But that person totally missed the point. Missed the humbleness of Prophet Muhammad, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is denying himself all the credit, and he's referring the credit back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is saying all goodness, all righteousness, every good thing that I have and I have done, it is all belongs to you, Allah, and you are the one who gets the credit for it. And every wrong thing, every evil thought, every evil thing that ever I was ever involved in, it is from my own soul. It is from my evil soul, Ya Allah. It is not because of you. And you are totally, you know, you're not the source of this evil thing. And this is how the companions of Prophet Muhammad, this is how the mentality and the setup that they have in their mind. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ in Surah Al-Ma'arij, and in Surah Al-Furqan, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. For the punishment of the hellfire is so severe, إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. This is the worst home. Just imagine. The home, your home, in the day of judgment is not going to be in West Lake. It's not going to be in Hampstead Place. It's not going to be in a nice in Beverly Hills. It's going to be in hellfire. To the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qari'ah described hellfire to be the mother of the non-believers. Why? Because, you know, the mother, how the mother hugs the baby? فَأُمُّهُ هَوِيَةً. Because the mother hugs the baby in a very tight way, Allah is saying, his mom in the day of judgment is going to be hellfire. Because hellfire is going to surround them and hug them. And they can't go away from it. You know, they try to go out of this hug. But no, it is going to be a big, huge hug, tight, restraining hug from hellfire. You know, فَأُمُّهُ هَوِيَةً. His mother is hellfire, hugging him and feeling him, you know, in its hug, very tightly. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. When they spent, they don't, they are not extravagant. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, and they are not stingy and cheap. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They are in the middle. And indeed, the right thing is always the middle between two extremes. That's a general concept. That the right thing is always the middle between two extremes. One extreme past it, and one extreme before it. One extreme to the right, one extreme to the left. And the right thing is in between. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Don't make your hand, that's a figure of speech, don't make your hand tied niggardly to your neck. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. And don't overstretch it. فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. And then you will be sorry and you are going to regret what you have done. Because when you are niggardly, you are denying people the right of in your wealth. The right in your wealth. When you are niggardly. When you are extravagant, you also denying the people the right in your wealth, because you will not have anything to spend. If you are so extravagant, then you won't have money to donate, you won't have money to support Islam, you will not have money to do your Islamic homework. There will be no money left. You will not even have money to pay zakah. There will be no money left for zakah, because you're always in debt. You know, you're not in debt, also you will always have a zero, you know, balance. And you will not have a saving anything. So you're denying people the right and your wealth by being extravagant. You're denying your people, the poor people, the right and the wealth and your wealth by being niggardly. Both ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, if you spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the money will come back to you. There is an angel every morning, two angels every morning that come with the sunrise, and one of them prays to Allah, Allahumma a'ti munfiqal khalafa, O Allah, reimburse and substitute and bless and increase the wealth of the ones who spend for your sake. And the other one, Wallahumma a'ti munfiqal khalafa, O Allah, destroy and decrease and curse the wealth of the ones who are not spending it for your sake, who are niggardly holding the money and not spending for your sake. And if you look at it, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pre-assigns your level of sustenance. Let's say Allah gives your level of 10. And you overspend for the sake of Allah, you spend too much, that your level of sustenance goes down to 8. So the angel is praying to Allah to substitute you the two difference, the deficit of two that you have accumulated because you're spending for the sake of Allah. So it comes back to you from whatever source that Allah wants. On the other hand, if you're niggardly and your level of sustenance pre-assigned by Allah's 10, and you're niggardly, so your level of wealth goes up to 12. Then the other angel is praying to Allah to destroy that extra 2 that you have accumulated. And they come with destruction, with pain, with sorrow, with sadness, and with hellfire and with bad deeds. You know, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. Inshallah, we will stop here because we have exceeded the time. And from next time, inshallah, we're going to start with that feature. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Can you summarize these five?
Okay. The summary. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. The first thing is the title. Their title is عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, servants of Allah, employees of Allah. They work for Allah. They are employed by Allah. عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, serve Allah. That's the title. Features are 11. Number one, يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. They walk humbly on earth. Number two, وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. If they are addressed and spoken to by the ignorant people, they respond with peace, either by walking away from the ignorance or by having a peaceful response. وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. They spend the nights praying to the Lord, praying سُجَّدًا, doing sujood, and قِيَامًا, praying, standing, قِيَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Fourth feature is that they are the ones who pray to the Lord and say, push away and protect from us the punishment of the punishment of hellfire, for its punishment is very severe and painful. إِنَّ عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. That the punishment of hellfire is the worst punishment, and the dwelling in hellfire is the worst destiny and the worst destination for any human. That's the way they pray, which is a reflection of how much they are scared from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then number five, when they spend, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا لَمْ يَسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. They don't overspend, overstretch their hands and their personal things, so that they don't have any money to spend for the sake of Allah or pay zakah, and at the same time they are not niggardly, their hands are not niggardly tied to their neck, that they are denying the spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About one last thing about the responding with ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْقَاضِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ, those who tame their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who forgive people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those are three levels of response. When you're faced with ignorance and insult, the first level is
those who don't get angry, okay, وَالْقَاضِمِينَ طَيْبًا, that they hold their anger, they hold it and they swallow it, and then they just don't respond. That is the first level of righteousness. The second level, وَالْعَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, is after doing this, forgive the person who was the source of ignorance. That is the second level. And then the third level is وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love those who reply back with a favor, with a good word, with something nice. The ones who reply back with this, which is more gracious, reply back with a gracious way. So on them, this level of righteousness, which is the highest level of righteousness, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ, and Allah loves those who reach to that level number three. Allah loves them. The ones who face, you know, they get a punch, they get a slap, they reply with a kiss. If I may use that as a figure of speech to describe. The first level is when they get a slap, they don't respond. The second level is they forgive. The third level is that they reply with a kiss. There was a slave who dumped a hot water on his master. And I forgot the name of the master. He was one of the followers of Prophet Muhammad. He spilled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spilled hot water on his master. So, the master, Ali?
His servant lady.
So, when the water was hot, it said, ouch! And then, so the slave said, وَالْقَاضِمِينَ غَيْظًا, those who tame their anger. So he said, قَضَمْنَا, we have tamed our anger. And he said, وَالْعَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, those who forgive you people. He said, قَفَرْنَا, I forgive you. And he said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves those who reply back with a gracious way. Then he said, go, you are free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.